Listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Hour two of the day's show on Friday going into Memorial Day. Listen, we're going to go to the phones right now. Casey Wardinsky just went through the whole primary election process and is now headed to a runoff with Dale Strong for the right to serve in Congress, representing Congressional District 5 here in the listening area. Wardinsky is a former Assistant Secretary of the Army for Reserve and Manpower Affairs. He also served a career in the military, retired as a full-bird colonel, but he also, and here's why he's on today in part, is because he also served as the superintendent for the Huntsville City Schools, and I believe that was during a period of time in which we were passing some of the legislation I just told you about for school safety. So all that to say, Casey Wardinsky, thanks for coming on. How are you doing today?
Very good, Phil. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, congratulations. I mean, I know you wanted to just go ahead and be done with it, but now you got a runoff. So at least you made it to that part, and you've got now till June to get that done.
Yeah, no, the runoff is exactly what we wanted. It was a crowded field of six candidates, so it's pretty hard for anybody to get to the 50+1. And now we can draw the clear distinctions that it's real tough to do when you got, you know, six folks running for the same position.
Sure enough. I mean, yeah, crowded field, probably some voter confusion. What do I do? Even though you were in alphabetical order, you know, down there on the bottom end of the names, you still came out for the top two to go to the runoff. So congratulations.
Thanks, Phil.
Hey, listen, let me ask you this, Casey. So when I served in the state Senate, we were passing legislation, I believe. Now, what years were you the superintendent for Huntsville City Schools? What years were that?
2011 to September of 2016.
That's what I thought. So, yeah, that would be the exact same time frame. We passed some legislation that dealt with things like putting together the opportunity to use local funds for school resource officers if you wanted to do things like putting plans in place for red alerts. But give me your perspective. You were a superintendent of one of the largest school systems in the state. What was it like dealing with issues of school security? What are your thoughts in terms of what's happened this week in Uvalde, Texas?
Well, it's certainly not a issue where one answer is going to solve the problem. It begins with, frankly, it begins in the home. Many of these kids that are doing these horrible acts have been victims of horrible acts before in their life. They're super angry. This particular young man here, Salvador Ramos, was a cutter. He had been cutting on his face. People had taken note of it. And cutting is a symptom that's very important. It indicates you hit yourself. And you've got some deep, deep problem, likely arising from sexual abuse, being raped or something when you're a little kid. That's typically what drives these people, deep abuse. And you hate yourself, and you hate the world, and you're very angry. And these kids need to be out of the normal school environment, and they need to be in an environment where they got medical and mental health people that can help them. And not mixed in with the other kids, because the other population, you know, is sort of your average kid, doesn't need that kind of help. You don't find that too often. We had it in Huntsville. I put it in place when I was superintendent, and we never had a shooting. And I credit that program itself to the vast majority of the reasons we never had a major disaster. The other things we did, this kid was on social media, as was the kid down in Parkland that shot a lot of folks, as is many of these other kids. And they're sending a signal of what they're going to do. They're bragging about it, or recruiting, or something like that, and it's right out there to be seen. This school system in Texas was using a thing called Social Sentinel, an artificial intelligence tool to spot email problems or problems on YouTube or Facebook. Apparently it didn't work in this case. I was one of the first in America to do that. We had a gang problem, and we busted it up by looking at YouTube and public-facing Facebook of kids that were in trouble to see who else thought they looked like they were, a kid they'd like to know, and usually these people flock. The way you design your buildings is very important. We brought in Special Forces guys who had studied the Beslan shootings in Russia and shootings in America, and we designed our schools so you wouldn't get trapped in the classrooms. Every classroom connected to every other classroom next to it, and the goal was trap the bad guy in the hall, and the kids got out from classroom to classroom so they wouldn't be in this lockdown kind of waiting for a bad guy to appear and, hoping he didn't come in their room. So a lot of things go into it, and the idea that simply taking away the rights of other Americans going to solve this problem is, you know, dumb. It's just another leftist move to curtail our rights and gain more control.
No, it certainly is. And let me ask you, I mean, you mentioned some ways to you know, harden the points of entry and to basically make the school less accessible to the bad guys, more accessible to the egress of students who need to get out. But you got, even Huntsville has them. I mean, a lot of school systems have what I would call older facilities that weren't ever designed with those kind of thoughts in mind. What kind of things do you recall having to do to actually modify or harden older existing structures that you knew you couldn't replace or just build new ones?
Well, we put kind of like an airlock system at the entry, so somebody couldn't just breeze on past the entry desk and into the school. So it was a double door situation where you had to, you came in through the first door, and if you got checked out, then you could get through the second set of doors. We had cameras throughout so that our security people could quickly coordinate with the police and have eyes on anything in those schools and bring immediate response. We had ALICE plans, which is it's an acronym for alert and lockdown and control, confront, and so forth, that the kids were taught and the teachers were taught, so they'd have an immediate action drill. And they work with the cops semi-annually on that drill. And, of course, we had school resources officers in our high schools and our K-8s and our middle schools, because that's where you're going to find these bigger kids that if they've been disturbed, they're more likely to be a problem than way down in elementary.
Yeah, and I told a story a little while ago before you came on with us about a very small town, Altoona, town of Altoona over in Etowah County, that I assisted. They were determined they were going to have an SRO in the little local elementary school out in the country that was outside their jurisdiction, but we helped them with an annexation to bring their jurisdiction up to the school property. That was an example of a small town being committed to the idea of having SROs. But I imagine, though, even in the big cities, you have to coordinate a lot with local law enforcement. That relationship from the school board office has to be tight with the local law enforcement and county sheriffs. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, absolutely. We worked very closely with the police chief. We coordinated their training. We made sure the right SROs were in the right schools, you know, whether it was language skills or familiar with the community or the kids. So it's a very hand-in-glove kind of operation with the police to make sure, you know, the SROs can be as effective as possible.
Do you recall, and my recollection was when we debated, and I read the state code a moment ago, I'm pretty sure that I read the proper clause, but there's my recollection was there was also a requirement that the school board had to keep on file with the local law enforcement, you know, the actual site plans for the schools in case they ever had to plan a dynamic entry, the law enforcement could look at the schematics. Do you recall that?
Yes, and that's a pretty valuable tool, obviously, when a situation occurs and when you're going to do training. And so we had all that stuff available, and we kept it current throughout, too. Ours were all digitized, so we could keep them up to date as schools, you know, kind of change configuration.
Well, and I guess the last thing I would ask you, though, on this topic is the drills. I mean, drills were requirement, and, you know, and there's always this old adage in the military, you remember it, train like you fight. And
that's right.
And so you have to go through the process. You have to have some kind of muscle memory, if you will, of how things work. But it can also be scary for the kids. So what was it like overseeing a school system where you had to tell the schools, hey, you're going to practice with the kids on what to do in an active shooter? And how did the kids respond to that?
Well, if the adults act calm and cool, the kids are going to follow in the same vein. And we had those drills. They were used to seeing officers in the school because we had our own officers in the schools. And the teachers were, you know, drilled first and then the kids with the teachers. And I don't recall ever having a problem with it. And, of course, you know, you had periodic lockdowns because some bad guy was in the neighborhood somewhere and you'd lock down the school. And so the kids, you know, it was part of the routine of going to school, unfortunately, the modern routine. I would say, though, you can remember back Obama's time frame. He sent out a Dear Colleague letter from Department of Ed in September of 16 saying he was worried about having cops in schools. He didn't want this law enforcement contact with kids to lead to a school-to-jail pipeline.
Yeah.
And so there was pressure from the federal government, sort of in the opposite direction of what we're talking today.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, we're talking about they're more willing to deal with our constitutional liberties than they are to deal with the simple idea of just hardening the schools and putting the actual drills in place that don't cost anything but are absolutely necessary.
Absolutely. That's right. Somebody asked me if I'd be in favor of the federal government passing a law that we need SROs, and I think it's a state matter. If, you know, back when Obama was president, he could have easily, if he was in control of whether we had SROs or not, he could have easily curtailed that.
Do you recall, as a superintendent, I'm sure that you attended meetings of all the superintendents statewide, and there were probably times when things were talked about in relation to school safety. Do you recall, I mean, you don't have to name them if you don't want to, but some school systems being more averse to the idea of SROs while other ones were, you know, all for it?
No, I think, I dealt with superintendents, and I can't remember any that weren't for it. And there was a time, you remember the bus shooting in Alabama, where somebody commandeered a bus with kids, and ultimately the police settled the situation pretty favorably. But we were worried a lot about transportation networks, because you've got buses. I had buses 90 minutes away from schools out in the middle of nowhere, and what was going on that bus was a concern for me all the time. And so we did things with the police about that as well.
Well, your experience is invaluable to this conversation. I want to thank you for that. Let's turn our attention real quickly before we run out of time. You got a month now. So, what are your thoughts? What's the game plan? And where can folks find out more about you?
Well, first they can find out more about me at friendsofcasey.com. And the game plan, quite frankly, is communicate directly with voters. We think Alabama is a pretty conservative place, and they're not looking for rhinos and guys to take down statues. You know, my competitor is now saying he's a Trump guy, which there's no way. He's got a picture with the president. Well, I got a picture with Santa Claus. That don't make me an elf. I got plenty of time with the president. But what you're looking for is people that can execute. And, the most emblematic thing I can think of is the president issued an executive order to protect monuments in June of 2020 to include state monuments. And it said if states don't protect their monuments, there could be funding implications. And here in Huntsville, you know, the guy I'm running against took down at night a Confederate monument that was more than 40 years old against state law. Can't remember who paid the fine. That's the kind of guy that the Attorney General Marshall said we can't trust him. If they do it here, they'll do it again. And certainly if they'll do it in their hometown, they're going to do it in Washington. And so we need people in Washington we can trust that have the grit to face down these folks that want to destroy our history and change our country's direction.
Well, Casey Wardinski, we're going to be talking to you between now and then, I'm sure. But in the meantime, thanks for coming on today, giving us some enlightenment about what it's like to be a superintendent on issues of school safety. It's important, I think, that folks know that there are plans and opportunities in place to actually do good things. So thank you for your time today.
Thanks, Phil. Take care.
All right, take care. All right, Copper, move us to a break. I ran long on purpose, but I ran long, so yes. Casey Wardinski, his experience as a school superintendent is certainly part of his resume, but it's also straight into this conversation we're having today. All right, we're going to wrap this segment up when we get back, and we're going to move forward on number two of the Triple Dipper. I hope, fit to fight, military readiness. We'll talk about it when we get back. Y'all stay tuned.